you probably know this story, John, but the Methodist Church split at the time of the Civil War, North and South. But Oklahoma, of course, was not a state. It was Indian territory. So the Northern Methodists sent a missionary down to form a church. Before Tulsa was a town, it was just a little trading post on the bank of the Arkansas River in Indian territory, and it became First Methodist Tulsa. The Southern branch sent a missionary, young preacher, young wife, baby, and a homemade crib in a covered wagon, and he founded the Methodist Episcopal Church South. He first started with a little brush arbor kind of thing he built down on the bank of the river. Then eventually they built a little wooden church, and then they built a brick church at 5th and Boston, and it became the Boston Avenue Church. Later, when they thought they needed to move a little bit south where they could perhaps buy some more property for parking as automobiles came along, they just moved down the street from 5th Street to 13th and built this one. So just location determined the name.
You said First Methodist, though.
Yeah, the First Methodist over there called themselves the First Methodist Church. Yes, it took the Methodist, though, 80 years to get over the Civil War and reunite. And by that time, First Methodist and Boston Avenue were both large enough they didn't want to become one. So we have two Methodist churches four blocks apart.
Should mention in Beaumont, yes, you started a TV ministry there.
I did.
So you brought that experience to Tulsa.
I did. I saw, again, what the television ministry had meant to us in Houston. So as soon as I could start getting the money together, I convinced that congregation that was the thing to do. And that church is still on television 40 years later, has been all these years. And when I came here, then I approached this congregation, one of my very first meetings about our being on television here.
And now you're streaming on the internet.
We are. Service. Yeah. That doesn't draw, so far, nearly the audience that Channel 8 does for us.
Some observations, either of Tulsa, of the church, are they vastly different as we look back here in 2011? That's 31 years you've been here. Are there some observations you could make?
We love Tulsa, first off. Let me say, we love Tulsa better than any other place we've ever lived and expect to spend the rest of our lives here. When our two sons went south to SMU, Trey, our older son, was recruited out of SMU by Chubb Insurance, and so he and Allison were married, but first lived in Dallas. Jason came back to go to OU Med School, but then went back to Dallas for residency, and hospitals in Dallas were offering him and his wife wonderful opportunities down there. We weren't sure if either of the sons would actually come back here to live. But both decided they love Tulsa, and their wives are both Oklahomans, and they love Tulsa. So we were thrilled when they came back because Gail and I certainly love it. I do feel that Tulsa turned down several important bond issues back there that could have benefited our downtown. I was on the board of Downtown Tulsa Unlimited for 25 years. I struggled with mayor after mayor. You know, it takes 4 or 5 years to work up one of those proposals and then defeat it. 4 or 5 years defeated. At that point, Oklahoma City started sprinting past Tulsa. I think they made a lot of good decisions. Tulsa made a lot of very poor decisions. When we finally were able to pass Vision 2025, look how it's revitalized our downtown. Now, I think our new superintendent of schools has done a tremendous job in trying to get Tulsa Public Schools in check and really help those schools move forward. I just heard him speak today at noon, the superintendent of schools, and he said 85% of the students attending Tulsa Public Schools are living below the poverty level. That's almost unimaginable to me. Both of my boys went through Tulsa Public Schools and did very well. They both did very well at SMU, and I want so much for our Tulsa Public Schools to do well. So seeing that they seem to have turned a corner, I think our downtown has definitely turned a corner. But, of course, there will be other opportunities. Either Tulsa moves forward or we take a step backward at some point.
How about Boston Avenue? Is there a makeup of the church looks different today than it did 31 years ago?
Yes. When I came here, our church had Fred Jones Ford on three sides of us. The first time I saw the church, the night we moved from Beaumont, was the first time I had ever seen the church. I thought, oh, gee, there's no parking. They had a little bit on the south side, but Fred Jones was on our west side with new cars and service department. They had a huge parts distribution building on the north of us and all the way down Cincinnati on our east, used cars. But we started building an endowment fund, trying to be sure we could keep up our beautiful building. And as that endowment fund continued to grow, we were finally able to buy out Fred Jones Ford and convert all of that space into beautiful landscaped parking. So that helped us a great deal. Every time we build a new freeway here or extend a freeway, even the Creek Bypass, if you make it easier for people to move, they will move. And as the downtown suffered, we suffered. In that big oil bust of the 1980s, when there was so much property downtown, all the downtown churches tried to expand their properties and so on. That affected Boston Avenue, too. And we've worked really, really hard to try to draw young families into the downtown. But I think one of the biggest things all of our clergy are seeing is that we have a very different generation now from the World War II generation. The World War II generation, my mother and father and so many others, believed you go to church every Sunday. Every Sunday church, every Sunday Sunday school. We have a generation, or two or three right now, who will tell you they're very active in church, and you see them once a month or once every 6 weeks. They have so many more options. Well, there's a football game this weekend. There's a gymnastics tournament next weekend. There's soccer, and then there's softball. You know, it's just unbelievable how many different things people choose to do, and yet they think they're really active in the church. But it's hard to sustain Sunday school classes and choirs and things when you see somebody once a month or once every 5 or 6 weeks. So I think we're all struggling with that. It doesn't mean we don't have some people who still come every week. And they're the kind of people you can really build Sunday school classes and Bible studies and choirs and so on around. But I wish we had more of the temperament of the World War II generation. Tom Brokaw was right. They were a great, great group of people.